This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
But I'd been forgotten, I'd been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe? But I'd been forgotten, I'd been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe?
Bit of Joel music for you. I asked Big Ed, Ed, can you find anything with Joe in it? Because Joe Biden gave his acceptance speech last night, right? And he, son of a gun, he found something. I couldn't think of a song. Good job.
This Ed. Was big in the club. It's called Cotton Eye Joe, which kind of fits him.
I like it.
And it's by Rednecks.
It's perfect. I don't know that the Rednecks would vote for Joe, no, but it's a good song.
They spell it Rednex.
I like that, too.
That was big in the club.
Thank you. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. That's what it really is. Not the Joe Show. We just wanted to pay tribute to Joe. I am Paul Molloy, and along with Big Ed, thanks for joining us. Hey, it's Friday, August the 21st already. Did you hear Joe Biden's acceptance speech? We're going to talk a little bit about it. We're also going to be talking in a few minutes with Sharon Angle about his vice presidential mate, Kamala Harris. Sharon is an author and a member of Election Integrity Project Nevada. So we'll talk about Kamala. I shouldn't say Kamala. Kamala sounds like one of those dromedaries that you hop on in the desert. So don't tell me to say Kamala anymore, Ed. It's Kamala.
You only got to say Kamala until November 4th.
Correct. And then we can forget about it. So anyway, we'll talk about Kamala with Sharon Angle and Kamala's fitness for the job. So stay tuned for that as well. And while Joe Biden accepts his party's presidential nomination, Steve Bannon tries to stay out of jail. So we're going to talk about both of those topics, along with some other thoughts, with Master Barber Andrew Sorace. I bet he'll have a lot to say about that. And dust off Wilbur, Ed, because we have another edition of Campus Quackery this morning, this one involving Fordham University. Fordham University. So stay tuned. And we got a great Ultimate Top 10. You're going to be, I was very surprised at this. These are the top 10 ethnic groups in America with the best income. And I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to be very surprised when you find out who are the wealthiest based on ethnic income. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. For you guys, the best barber in Tampa Bay, bar none, Andrew Sorace and his staff at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in Dunedin. It's located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580. Call for an appointment, 727-733-3773. That is 733-3773. Okay, so I watched Joe Biden's speech, and you know what? He gave a good speech. He sounded cogent. That was because he was reading from a teleprompter, and he probably was practicing all day, which is good, but he did come off well. I'm going to read you a story about, I'm sure this is one of the fawning people in the press for him, but it says Joe Biden gave the biggest speech of his career last night when he accepted the nomination for president. Quote, the current president's cloaked America in darkness far too long, said Biden. He went on to say, too much anger, too much fear, too much division. I will draw on the best of us, not the worst. And make no mistake, united we can and will overcome this season of darkness. So I guess it's been a season of darkness. And Joe is going to spread, part the waves, part the clouds, and be kind of like the Moses of the sky, if you will elect him. Now, if you don't elect him, he won't part the clouds. That's what we get. The speech earned rave reviews from a lot of the people that like Biden anyway, but it also earned very good reviews from conservatives. the speechwriter, the chief speechwriter for Barack Obama, called it, quote, easily Joe Biden's best speech. I don't think so. Come on. Joe Biden's been around in the Senate since 1973. If that's the best speech he ever gave, I don't think so. So let's not go overboard with that. But he says he rose to the moment. Now, this is Politico's chief political correspondent. He says, we're watching an old ball player whose skills have diminished turn in a career-best performance. A career-best performance. See, they got to go overboard, right? Can't they just say it was one of his better speeches in his career, and then we would buy it? The speech even received praise from guys like Rich Lowry. He's the editor of National Review. He called it forceful, energetic delivery, strongest when portraying his program as all about jobs. Speech lost focus in the second half. So, Ed, did you listen?
Absolutely not.
Why not? Why wouldn't you want to listen to Joe Biden's speech?
I have to listen to 2 minutes of the news every day at the top of the hour, and that's enough for me.
Okay.
The stuff that they spew out, for crying out loud.
Yeah. I don't know that many people listen to him.
Do they actually have a plan, or is it just to bash Trump?
No, he did bring up some things he wants to do. I thought
they've got an answer for the pandemic, supposedly, but they're only going to give it to you if you elect them.
There you go.
Meanwhile, people can die, but you know.
Yeah, yeah. His only answer to the pandemic is wear a mask. Wear a mask. Now, look, the Democrats are trying as best they can to tie the noose around Trump's neck that he is the cause of all of these people dying because of the virus. Mm-hmm. You know that.
Yeah.
But they haven't got anything they would do that would have increased or would have decreased mortality in this thing. We know that. We know that. They would have allowed some of those people to come in from China and some other countries mm-hmm. that would have been carrying the virus. But Trump closed those borders pretty quickly, and he closed them despite people giving him advice not to close it.
And being called a racist because he closed
it. He's been called a racist, of course, because he had, and that goes back to wanting to shut down the entrance of terrorists into our country. And he selected the countries where the terrorists were coming from. And, of course, that meant the Democrats could lick their chops and call him a racist.
Mm-hmm.
When there were all kinds of countries with the same race that mm-hmm. he left open, right? Now, another thing they did, as long as we're harping on this, they keep going back to Charlottesville, and so did Biden. And Biden made the unfair, dishonest statement that Trump was lauding white supremacists and Nazis, and he never, never was. All he said, because I remember this, Trump said, look, there are good people on both sides of that issue. The issue was whether to bring down the statue.
Right.
And there were good people on both sides. People that really believe sincerely to keep it up and people that believe sincerely that it should come down.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that. But what did they do? Because there might have been a handful of nutbags from the right that were in there, and there probably were.
Right.
You know, they jumped on that one. So they're dishonest. And anybody that listened to what Trump said knows that. But Biden brought that up. And Biden inferred that Trump was a racist because of that. So we know that those are the things that are going to happen. Anyway,
one thing.
Yeah, please.
He may have had his best speech or whatever. Well, we're all going to remember the debate when it happens.
Oh, no. The speeches are always forgotten.
And that was recorded. You got to remember. That was recorded.
Do you remember Trump's acceptance speech? Nobody remembers those speeches. They remember the debates a little bit more because, of course, the debates are later, closer to the election. Anyway, we're going to switch gears. Instead of talking about Uncle Joe, what should we call Kamala or Kamala? Should we call her Aunt Cammy? No, we better not do that.
No.
Anyway, we're going to be talking about Kamala Harris with Sharon Engel, so do stay tuned.
You make me feel so young. You make me feel so spring has sprung, and every time I see you grin, I'm such a happy individual.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. We are back on a Friday morning. Thank you very much for listening to us, Freedom Works, and we're delighted to have Sharon Angle join us. Sharon is a member of Election Integrity Project Nevada. She is an author. She's written three books. She's a national speaker on election integrity. She has a documentary film out, Stolen Choices. She's a busy young lady. Sharon, thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure to be with you, Paul.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure indeed. Now, I cannot think of a person that is under more scrutiny right now than Kamala Harris. I don't think I would want to be in her shoes. You know you're going to get criticized no matter who you are in that job. But let's take a look at Kamala. And I know you've had an opportunity to do some rather a deep inspection on Kamala. Sharon, tell us a little bit about, first of all, let's just get to the point. Do you think she's fit? Is she fit to be a vice presidential candidate?
Well, I think that seriously, politically flawed is the way that I would put it. I've run for office several times. In fact, I ran against Terry Reid in 2010 out here in Nevada, and many of your supporters there in Florida were very helpful to me, and I guess that's why I'm on the show today, is I need their help again.
Good. But glad you're here.
Yeah, but the real situation is that when you're a politician, you ask for consultants, people that will help you, and looking at the baggage that she has, I don't think there's a consultant that would take her on as a client. I mean, there's just too much that they would have to mitigate there. Yet, you say she's under scrutiny. I don't think so. The mainstream media, they're giving her a pass on a lot of things. I guess the most troubling thing for me in election integrity is that she was a real opponent of photo ID, and anybody that undermines the integrity of elections or doesn't see the need to have more fair, honest, and secure elections, I get real suspicious of their motives. You know, why don't they want fair, honest elections? Are they planning to use the system and the flaws in the system itself to gain an advantage over their opponents? So I always have to look at that, and especially when Harry Reid came out in her defense last week saying that actually it was Trump who had no integrity. Well, come on. I've not heard Trump say anything about let's make these elections fair and honest. In fact, he's right now in the state of Nevada suing over our mail-in ballot law because it's too loosey-goosey. And he knows it. We know it. We've got findings that prove it in Nevada that it's been going on since before 2010. And in fact, one of the findings that we have says that there were 42,000 illegitimate votes is what we're calling them. And if anyone was following that race in 2010, and I think many were, I only lost that race by 41,424. So that's a suspicious number in its own right. So I'm very suspicious of Kamala Harris and her motives when it comes to the integrity of elections. And that's why we put out our documentary, Stolen Choices. Anybody can get a copy of that and look at it for themselves. See exactly how long this has been going on in our country, who's been doing it, how they've been doing it, and what we can do to stop it. And just to get that, you need to go to Election Integrity Project Nevada, EIPNV.com, EIPNV.com. And for a small donation there, you can see that documentary for yourself. We're also doing a telethon here on the West Coast, which will be put up on the internet so that people can see that documentary. It'll be in pieces with people who are name known in the election integrity process.
Sure. And we're going to get back. I'm going to ask you to repeat that at the end of our talk. But okay. I want to get back a little bit to why did Joe Biden select her? Now, is it because you can check all the boxes for the kind of vice president, you know, that he needed? What motivated him, do you think?
I think he told us race and gender. Said he needed a black woman. I don't think there's, you know, you can't read much more into that, I don't think. And it's insulting on his face to any woman, especially we that have been fighting the long, hard fight to be recognized and actually given some credit for the quality of our character rather than the color of our skin, as Martin Luther King said. Mm-hmm. And you know, I politics is generally thought of as a man-dominated field. And so when you get into politics as a woman, you have to be serious. You have to have some quality behind your name, and this is just insulting on the face, but I don't think we have to look much farther for motivation as far as why she was picked. I guess my underlining suspicion is that she knows how to get votes. She's won elections in California, and of course, when we look at the integrity of elections in California, we have to be really suspicious there. We know that 1.6 million votes in L.A. County alone were illegitimate, should not have been on the roll, should not be mailed a ballot, but maybe we'll get a ballot in 2020 if we're not successful in the lawsuits that we have out there for election integrity. So maybe she knows something about that system and how to work it that Joe Biden feels is an advantage.
Yeah. We're talking with Sharon Engel of Election Integrity Project Nevada. She's got a film out, a documentary film called Stolen Choices, which we're going to talk about a little bit more towards the end of our interview. There's so much I want to ask you, Sharon. We're going to stick a little bit on Kamala because, of course, she is the woman of the moment. But it seems to me we got two weather vanes running in the Democratic ticket. They will turn on a dime with issues if it suits their political interests. I think Kamala, and I'm sure you've got a couple of examples, but haven't Kamala kind of changed her stripes a little bit on, you know, she used to be, what, an attorney general in California, and all of a sudden she doesn't sound so pro-police. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, as you said, they are weather vanes. They have their finger to the wind, whichever way their wind is blowing, that's the way they're going to go. And I think that it really doesn't matter, because I think they think there's an ace in the hole. That's a gambling term, of course, from a gambling state.
Yes, indeed.
I think, you know, out here in Nevada, we think that she's probably got something up her sleeve. And I'm looking up her sleeve to see that I think it's this whole idea that elections are not secure in our country. Mm-hmm. And that's why we as grassroots citizens have to do something. And that's why I'm really asking your audience strongly to go to Election Integrity Project Nevada, EIPNV.com, and help us out with a small donation there. They can get the Stolen Choices documentary. They can also
see it,
help us with lawsuits here to secure these elections out in the West.
Now, tell me, let's switch over to this mail-in thing. So in Nevada, are they going to try to mail out, are they going to try to mail out ballots to everybody? Or do you have to request a ballot to get it?
We don't have to request. It's a mail out to anybody that's registered. They're saying only active registrations, but in our primary, they mailed out to inactive registrations as well. 1.5 million ballots were mailed out. 300,000 of those voted. 233,000 of them came back undeliverable.
Really?
And yeah, and you can guess what happened to the other 500,000. They were in mail receptacles on the street in the garbage.
No.
This is what we're complaining about. And as you know, Nevada's a swing state, so
yes, it is.
It could go either way, and we don't want it swinging anyway, just because people have done the wrong thing, which is taking advantage of a system that is very difficult to nail down here.
Yeah.
We actually are suing to have this law not implemented. That's where the money's going. So if you make your donation, that's what you're paying for, is legal fees to keep this law from being implemented, because they want to legalize ballot harvesting, tell you that your signature doesn't have to be official. You can use your initials, your nickname, whatever you please. And anybody over 65 can have someone come in and sign for them. Talk about insulting, right? If you're
now,
over 65, they don't even think you can sign your own ballot.
Remind us, the governor of Nevada, is he a Republican?
No, he is not.
Okay, well, there's the reason. Had it been a Republican, we wouldn't have this issue, because he would not be focusing on this.
Well, our Secretary of State is a Republican. The issue is not a partisan issue, Paul. It is an American issue, and that's why I'm just appealing to everyone to
of
help
course
us
it is.
Get these votes secure, fair, and honest. That's all we want.
No, indeed.
You know, the outcome, if we knew that the outcome was a real outcome, we could be satisfied. But that's why so many people aren't even voting anymore. They say, well, my vote doesn't count. That's because of stuff like this has happened all over the country.
Well, here in Florida, we've had mail-in voting, but it had to be originally because you requested the ballot. And they ask you every year, right on your envelope, do you want to continue to vote by mail? However, I've had second thoughts about it. I'm beginning to think I might go to the poll instead of mailing it in here in Florida.
No, that's the most secure way. The most secure way is on Election Day, in person, in your precinct, paper ballot. Then you can trace that vote. That's the most secure way to vote. Machines, we all know our computers can get hacked. That's all that machine is the computer. All of this is in stolen choices. Every bit of how the trickery that's being used, people can just go there to Election Integrity Project Nevada, EIPNV, get a copy of that documentary, Stolen Choices. Like I said,
you'll
find out how long it's been going on, who's been doing it, how they've been doing it, and what we can do about it.
Sharon, it was a real pleasure to have you on, and this is such an important thing. It really is. And again, a documentary film is called Stolen Choices. Make a little donation there at the website if you can. And let's see if we can get as many people as possible to view Stolen Choices. Thank you so much, Sharon.
You're so welcome, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
Our pleasure. Sharon Engel, okay. Very interesting woman. Boy, she's... After talking with her, I don't think I'd ever want to mail in a ballot again. I think I'd want to go right to the poll. All right, let's take our break when we come back. You know, while Joe Biden is accepting his party's presidential nomination, we got Steve Bannon, remember him, trying to stay out of jail. We're going to talk about both issues, along with some other things, with Master Barber Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up, every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Friday. Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for listening to us. By the way, we are here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. You can also go to our website if you want to listen to any of our shows. Big Ed sets up all of our programs. OurFreedomWorks.com. Okay, while we're doing the show, it turns out that the U.S. Postmaster General is being slapped around in a hearing by Senate Democrats, Louis DeJoy, who is trying to reassure everybody that the Postal Service will function and be able to deliver their mail-in ballots. Here we were just talking about whether or not the post office can handle it and whether it will be a fair thing. Also, Steve Bannon. Remember him? He's pled not guilty to a charge of scraping some of that money that he was supposedly taking in for building Donald Trump's wall. He's a former advisor to Trump. He's an architect of his 2016 campaign. So we got the Master Barber Andrew Ceresi with us. Andrew, what is going on here with Steve Bannon?
I guess he made a mistake, didn't he?
Yeah. Sounds like he's pocketing some money. We're all human, but...
Yeah, well, you know, Paul, everybody knew he was kind of a scumbag right from the beginning.
Yeah, he was a little bit shady.
That's why Trump got rid of him. You know that.
You know, Trump pretty quickly... tried to shoo him away when they asked him a question about Bannon yesterday. He said, well, I don't need to be bothered with him. Yeah.
We got enough of the crap we got to worry about, Paul. We don't have to worry about Bannon. He messed up. See you later.
Yeah, I think you're right. Okay, so let's go on to, I'm sure that you enjoyed Joe Biden's acceptance speech.
Come on, man.
What?
He's full of malarkey.
Well, that's
he's
a nice
full
way.
Full of malarkey. You know what? That whole convention was nothing but a dog-faced pony show.
Where have I heard that term before?
You heard all three of them, didn't you?
Yes, indeed, we did.
I summed up his their confession in his own words, buddy. Now,
seriously, did you watch his speech?
Paul, seriously, I fell asleep.
Okay,
and yeah. I'm hearing on the news this morning, oh, my God, the best speech of his life. Oh, Lord, Jesus put those words in his mouth. Come on, man. That wasn't even live, Paul. That was a pre-recorded deal.
Well, regardless, he was reading from a teleprompter, and I can
tell. That's right. And I can tell you, I want to know how many takes they had to make for him to get that straight.
That's true. They probably had to do a lot of splicing if you watched it.
But, of course.
Editing. But, you know, I said earlier, that is not his best speech. We've got to remember, he's been around for over 40 years. Good God, can you believe 40 years this guy's been around? Anyway, he's got to have given a better speech. If that was the best speech he's ever given in his 40 years, then he ain't much of a speech maker.
Well, listen, they're in trouble. They're going after the Post people. They're going down for the count, Paul. Their whole convention, everybody, you know, for 4 days they sat there and they watched it and, oh, maybe they're not as bad as what they're thinking and da-da-da-da-da. You know what? Wait till next week.
I'm just going to bring it up. Now we've got Donald Trump and company, and they're going to be on. And, of course, we already know it's rather, anticlimactic. Donald Trump's been president for 4 years. Doesn't have to really introduce himself. Everybody knows who he is.
And you know what? He'll be live.
And he'll be live.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, he's going all over the place again. You know, I'll say one thing. If anybody ever said that Donald Trump is lazy, you can laugh right in their face.
Donald Trump has been trolling them all week, buddy, at their convention.
He's the most energetic president I've ever seen. And look how old he is. Look how old he is. So nobody can accuse him of not working hard, because he does. And he gets out there and he takes all of the questions.
You know, Paul, they're going to try to do anything they can to win this election. But the fact of the matter is, I still believe this country is going to be 49 states red.
Just going to bring this up again. You are even predicting that the Golden State, California, is going to go for Trump.
I'm thinking it's going to go Trump, buddy. I wonder what the odds in Vegas are on that one. Maybe we should put some money on it.
I don't think I'll join you on that one. Now, if you win, you become a multimillionaire on it, because all you have to do
is bet
about
$10.
What?
I'm going to have to check that one out, because I made that mistake with Trump the first time when there were 800-1 about him not getting the Republican nomination.
Well, I think the odds are even higher that California would vote for Trump.
I'm telling you, look at things that have happened. Jimmy Carter got elected one time, didn't he?
What states will not vote for Trump? Now, you said he'll get most
of them. I'm going to say New York.
New York's even more blue than California?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. Haven't
they learned their lesson after what's happened in New York?
This is what I'm saying.
Haven't they learned their lesson?
What do you think about, Minnesota over there wanting $54 million to fix up the city there that they got destroyed? That's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. And I'm sure Portland will be wanting some of that money as well as possibly Chicago to fix the Magnificent Mile. It's very sad what's going on. And by the way, I must say this, Andrew the Master Barber, they didn't bring up the rioting in those cities, I think, even once during the Democratic convention.
Of course, Paul. They're not going to bring it up either. They're paying for it. Why would you bring up something you're paying for to have done? Come on. Black Lives Matter. The money goes right to the Republican Party. Go join the blue, remember?
Mm-hmm.
It's a bunch of baloney, Paul. They're going to keep this up thinking that, oh, Biden's going to bring peace. Biden hasn't done crap in 47 years. What the hell makes you think he's going to do anything now? Everything you're hearing is coming from somebody else's mouth. He can't even speak.
He's actually rejected his backing of a police legislative piece some years ago that he did back, and now he doesn't want to have anything to do with it. And Kamala Harris, the same way. She supposedly, built her reputation as a...
Well, she built her reputation, all right. But we can't talk about it on the air.
Well, also, she was kind of, they considered her, pro... a police and as an attorney general, et cetera. But she kind of wants to disavow all of that, as well as Willie Brown, by the way. And that's what you're referring to, Willie Brown. Willie Brown helped get her to where she was.
There's no question about it, Paul.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So we got so much here that is going on. We were talking with Sharon Angle. I don't know if you even heard any of that, but
I was listening to the whole show, Paul.
Sharon Angle, who is very much against this idea of the mail-in balloting in Nevada. And if they are indeed mailing out the ballots willy-nilly like that, you know there's going to be all kinds of trouble.
Yeah.
Your thought?
Well, Paul, it's going to get dirty. Now, like I say, you saw 4 days of all the attention on the Democrats. I mean, now, watch and see what's going to come out next week alone.
What?
Okay? Mm-hmm. Well, you watch what's going to come out with this Republican convention. You listen to their speakers, you're going to get a whole different take on everything, okay?
That's true.
I mean, that's what this is about. Then after the Republican election is over with, then we're going to see it hammered out. And you know what? That Joe Biden, Mr. Malarkey, better come out live on that stage for the debate.
Yeah.
Okay, because I can't wait to see this. Then you're going to see what they're made of, Paul.
Hey, I'm beginning to think, now that you've been saying this, I wonder if they photoshopped him giving his acceptance speech. That might have been a Photoshop, now that I think about it.
You don't know what they did, Paul. You don't know. I would trust these people as far as I could throw them. They'll do anything to sink this country, and I feel sorry for the people that vote for these people because they don't have a brain.
And by the way, Mike Pence, our current vice president, will be debating Kamala Harris, and here's what...
Oh, that'll be good.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Kamala, she's an okay debater, don't get me wrong. And she thinks she could come down on people, and that's what she does in a debate. Well, I got news for you. What are you going to come down on Mike Pence with? Mm-hmm. Nothing. He's going to hammer her. Well, you're going to bring up everything she's done. You mark my words, you're going to see Pence shine in this one, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Pence, yesterday in an interview, he framed the upcoming election as a choice on the issues. He drew a contrast between what he said is Trump's law and order and pro-economy agenda versus a radical left agenda that he said is supported by Biden and Kamala. And you know, he's going to be talking that way when he does that one debate with Kamala Harris. You know, he's been a very positive, I think, a positive factor. I think Trump made a very good choice with him. He's really...
He's a stand-up man, Paul.
I don't think too many people can criticize the guy for his demeanor.
That's
you know,
right.
And his personal background or anything like that. He's a good guy to have. He's a little bit of a contrast to Trump, but that's
what
it should.
Need.
Yeah.
That's perfect. You get right down the middle, you got it perfect. You got the two of them fighting for us. What's Biden going to do? What's Kamala Harris going to do? Nothing.
You know,
47 years he had to straighten out the government. He's going to straighten it out now? He's full of malarkey, his favorite word.
Yeah. When you go to make that bet about California, you might also place a second bet on whether or not, if Biden does become president, if he will be conducting the second half of his term from a nursing home.
The first month will be.
Okay.
What are you talking about? First month.
Well, I don't know. I thought
Camilla pushing him around in his wheelchair.
I just thought they would have, you know, Vegas might have nursing home odds. And I think that would be a very interesting bet.
You know, I wonder if Kamala Harris there had any background in caregiving. Maybe that's why he picked her.
Yeah, she might be a good nurse.
She might be a good caregiver because, of, you know, yeah. Two of them are going to make a vice president and a president. You can hang that one up, and everybody knows.
Well, yeah, I mean, she could wheel them out on stage and the whole bit. She could be wearing a crisp pinafore and the whole bit.
You know what I want to know, Paul?
Yeah.
How come during the primaries she got 2% of the Democratic vote? Now all of a sudden they love her.
Yeah.
Come on. She was gone before Thanksgiving.
She was gone pretty quickly. You're right about
that's
that.
Right. Okay, so they made a lousy pick, and he made a lousy pick. How's that? They made a lousy pick picking Biden, and he made a lousy pick picking her.
A lot of picking going on here. You know,
that's it.
Trump.
And you know what, Paul, we need to do? We need to get together one of these days, and we need to do a show with Twiddledee and Twiddledum to do that Thursday show. I'd like to have a debate with them, with me, you, and Ed with them.
Oh, my goodness.
I think that would be a good one. These guys like to talk a lot of malarkey, just like Joe. So come on, man. I dare you guys to debate us.
Okay, you're talking about the Voice of Reason, which is on Thursdays from 10 to 11
a.m.
Eastern.
That's right. It's Twiddledee and Twiddledum or something.
Okay.
I don't know. We'll find out. But well, tell them I think it'd be a good idea. Let's have a live debate.
Well, now, I want to give them credit because I've been on their show, and they were willing to come on mine.
And there we go.
And we already have talked a couple of times. But, indeed, if we had you with us, I don't think I'd be able to get a word in edgewise.
Well, I know they like talking about us. I've been hearing rumors.
Uh-huh.
So if you want to talk to me, talk to my face.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see about that. You never know. Maybe we'll do something like that. I can just see. Well, I won't go there. I was going to say
you better, you better tell them to have one of those heart machines there.
Well, yeah. So anyway, you still think, obviously, that Donald Trump is going to do one heck of a job, except for maybe New York. He might take 49. Is it going to be? Do you remember when Ronald Reagan won 40? Or no, was it Nixon that won 48 or 49 out of 50?
It was Nixon.
Nixon did it. That's right. But Reagan came close, did he not, when he...
That's right. And you know what was going on when Nixon got all those states, don't you? All the rioting.
That's
they
right.
They were rioting. People were tearing up just like they are now. And you know what? The American people are fed up with it, Paul.
Yeah.
Look at the little five-year-old kid getting killed. Look at these cities being destructed. You don't hear nothing about it. It's all quiet. The biggest thing going in this country was Biden's convention. Give me a freaking break.
Hey, here's something else. I want to see what you have to think about. You know the guy that killed Osama bin Laden, the Navy SEAL?
Yep.
Did you hear about his being persona non grata on Delta Airlines?
No.
You didn't hear about that?
No.
Well, this is Robert O'Neill. He's the guy that went in and killed Osama bin Laden. He's been banned from Delta Airlines for posting a since-deleted photo of himself on a Delta flight without a, quote, dumbass mask.
Hey. I got news for you. There's a song coming out about the mask here pretty soon. You'll be the first one to hear it.
All right.
You're going to love it.
Oh, well. Well, is it anybody singing it we know?
No, it might be yours truly.
Oh, my gosh. I can't wait to hear it. I cannot wait to hear it. But this
one.
Is so this is Robert O'Neill. Delta has now banned him. He goes online and he says, I just got banned. From Delta for posting a picture. They're not going to let them go on now. That's kind of funny.
You know what? There's plenty of airlines. They'll be starving for his business.
I think
soon. So. Now, what about Disney World, huh?
What's going on?
Disney's hurting pretty bad, Paul.
People are not showing up because of the virus.
They're not going there at all, man. The street cleaners can clean the streets during the day.
There's
nobody there.
You understand why. This is a virus.
I got my own philosophy.
Oh, you got another one?
They're going to say it's the pandemic. But, you know, I looked at California over the years, the mudslides, the fire, all the time. You know, California's nickname is Californication, right? All kinds of crap going on over there. So, to me, maybe that's the man up above answering what should be going on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, now you got Disney World over here. They're going crazy. They can't get people there for nothing. But, you know, look at what Disney's done. And the little movie there for the kids with the little ice princess or whatever, they put gay characters
in
there.
Oh, my goodness. Are you going there?
Okay. And now they got Black Lives Matter, and they're producing a movie about that. Maybe things don't go right if you don't do things
okay,
right.
Okay, so you think people are staying away because of some of these other
I
topics.
Think so.
Okay.
And you know, look at how fast Goodyear Tire Company changed their tune, didn't they?
Yeah. But,
okay,
you know, that was not their overall policy. There was, I think that story was a little bit
Well, you know,
up.
If you take a picture of the sign that they posted for the people right on their video screen, how could it say anything different?
Anyway, they've backtracked on all of that, and rightly so. You're right about that. Hey, it's always a pleasure, my friend. And I can't wait to hear you sing. I'll bring my cotton balls and all that stuff. But
you're gonna love it, Paul. We're gonna have a number one hit.
Oh my goodness! I cannot wait.
All right, buddy. You have a good weekend.
Thanks, Andrew.
Bye bye.
All right, the Master Barber. We're gonna take a short break. When we come back, dust off Wilbur. It's time for Campus Quackery.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works, and we thank you very much for joining us. And it is time for another edition of Campus Quackery. And this time we go to Fordham University in New York. Fordham University is under investigation from the Department of Education for allegedly violating a student's free speech. On his personal account, Austin Tong posted pictures with a legally obtained gun and criticized China's handling of the Tiananmen Square massacre. He also posted about the death of a St. Louis policeman who died trying to stop rioters. Well, Fordham reportedly considered the social media post, quote, grotesque and racist. And what did they do? They sent two uniformed public safety officers to Tong's home in Long Island, New York, to discuss it. After the visit, the university called Tong, quote, a security threat, despite the fact that the officers who made the visit very quickly determined Tong posed no such threat. A real edition of Campus Quackery. Excuse me. A little bit of a cough there. Wilbur makes me cough. I'm allergic to duck feathers. All right. We have a good top 10, Ed. You got to get over on the drums, however. This is something that really surprised me. You know, everybody's talking about the difference in income between minorities and white people, right? Well, we went over, and this is the U.S. Census Bureau, and we have come up with the top 10 ethnic groups in the United States in terms of their per capita income. And I think we'll be surprised to see what groups are really the wealthiest. Okay, so here we go. Without further ado, number 10. Number 10 ethnic group in the United States are Korean Americans. They're per capita income, $59,200. Mm. Pretty good, huh? Number nine is Caucasian Americans. These are the people that are supposedly making all the money, but they're only ninth. And theirs is $59,900. Number eight, Pakistani Americans. $66,200.
Say it right. Pakistani.
Oh, Pakistani.
Pakistani.
I did not mean to imply I did not know how to speak it, Pakistani.
Would you like to renew your warranty on your car?
You know, you're pretty good. You could have fooled me. Number seven. Chinese Americans are number seven. $69,100 for Chinese Americans. Pretty good. Number six, Malaysian Americans. Now, what's the difference? Malaysian are more islander types, I guess. Malaysian Americans, $70,300. Number five, Japanese Americans. They make $72,300 a year on average.
That was my choice.
Huh?
That wasn't my choice.
You thought they'd be number one, huh?
Japanese American.
Okay, all right. Number four, Sri Lankan Americans. Now, they're a kind of an Indian group.
Sri Lankan.
Yes, indeed, Sri Lankan.
Sri Lankan.
$74,600. $74,600.
You're not Sri Lankan.
Very good. Number three, Taiwanese. Now, these are the ones from the island of Taiwan. Taiwanese American, as opposed to the Chinese Americans. Taiwanese, $82,500. Wow, that's pretty good. Very good, actually. Number two, Filipino Americans. This one I would never have guessed. Did you realize Filipino Americans are that wealthy? The average per capita income for a Filipino American family, $83,300. Now, I'm wondering, what is it that they've got going there in the Philippines, or at least when they get over here? Can you imagine what it might be?
No.
No, I can't either. All right, Ed.
I'm going to tell you
that it's a large group.
Okay.
And I'll give you a big hint. I'm going to give you a huge hint, okay? There are a lot of them in the medical industry.
Oh, come on. India?
Indian Americans?
Yeah.
Is that what you think?
Yeah.
Okay, roll the drum.
Oh, yeah.
You rolled the wrong drum. That's better. You're right.
Really?
Yeah. Indian Americans make $100,500 per year. Now, I go to an Indian doctor, and he's great. I must say, he's very good. Mm-hmm. No nonsense.
Right.
In and out. He must have a lot of people he's got to see. He always remembers who I am. He, you know, asks questions that are appropriate and everything. In fact, I just had my checkup and everything. But they're all over the place. They study very hard. Yeah. They come over here.
Legally.
Oh, yeah. They come over legally.
What a concept, huh?
And I'm thinking it's not just, and they're very good technology people, are they not?
Yes.
A lot of Indian Americans. In other words, they're very well educated.
Yes.
And they're well educated before they come over. I used to ascribe that to Chinese people.
Mm.
You know, that they were always, and they are. They work hard. Japanese are the same way. A lot of those Asian groups, I don't know if it's because of the environment they come from or what. Or because they're in Asian people normally come from crowded areas, I guess you could say, right? Anyway, there we go. I thought that was pretty interesting, though, that Caucasians are ninth. White Americans, ninth on the list.
Let us say go Rays. Congratulations, sweeping Yankees.
Okay. I'm glad you brought that up. Go Rays. And we got the Lightning.
Lightning tomorrow. No, is it tomorrow?
Who are they going to play?
Boston, I believe.
Boston. That'll be interesting in hockey. All right. Thanks so very much. We will be back on Monday. Remember, freedom works. Didn't have a chance.